Tribu Raíces presenta su programa
Espejos de Aztlán.
Información,
arte,
cultura.
Bienvenidos.
Y bienvenidos a su programa Espejos de Aztlán. Mi nombre es Cristina Bachín. This afternoon we are having a particular topic about the aftermath of deportation in immigrant families. As you might know, these days the expectations for immigration reform are becoming higher and the political atmosphere around it is really intense. With the expectation that this congressional term and the holidays will change the vulnerable situation of more than 11 million persons without U.S. documents living in the country, different initiatives are trying to push for a vote in the Congress regarding immigration reform. For example, there are people fasting since the second week of October in a tent close to the Capitol. President Obama visited with them last week. An initiative to send 11 million emails to flood the Congress digitally called 11by11ahora.com, 11por11ahora.com, I support immigration reform. And another example, the Wish for the Holidays campaign that is bringing thousands of letters from children and youth to Congress to ask for one common wish: pass immigration reform that keeps families together.
De sentir la madre patria en el centro de la tierra. Es porque yo ya he tenido mucha guerra. Mi el héroe se me murió. Qué bien, es que tan libre soy. Soy americana, no llevo en la sangre ni traza.
And deportations are among the most tragic event that can happen to an immigrant family. The ICE, El Hielo, or the Immigration and Customs Enforcement. In 5 years, from 2007 to 2012, reports they deported 206,175 persons. If we can imagine that they were transported all at once in a train, we would see an endless train with 7,200 wagons crowded with immigrants from all over the world. Today, we'll listen to the story of the parents of a young student deported from Albuquerque. They have lived here for almost 20 years. They came from Mexico to seek for a better life for their children. They work in the construction and maintenance of buildings and houses. Their son was detained on the freeway I-25, going to his classes and immediately deported to Mexico, a country that he barely remembered. We'll hear their voices telling us how immigration deportations separate families and deeply affects them and the unity of their family. For Espejos de Aztlán, my name is Cristina Bachín.
¿Cuándo fue deportado vuestro hijo? En julio del 2010, hace ya 3 años que pasó esto.
¿Y de dónde fue deportado? Dimos un reporte en Espejos de Aztlán hace un año, pero ¿podrían recordarnos?
Ya, esto pasó hace 3 años, en julio del 2010. Mi hijo y mi hija iban a la escuela, a la universidad, y en cuanto un policía del aeropuerto los detuvo en el Freeway 25 de Albuquerque, y los paró supuestamente por un ticket de velocidad, pero los empezó a cuestionar sobre sus documentos.
When was your son deported? She said he was deported in July 2010. It has now been 3 years. How was he deported? She said, my son and daughter were going to school, the community college. The airport police stopped them and detained them on the I-25 freeway in Albuquerque, supposedly for a speeding violation. But then he started questioning them about their immigration status. As my son always tells the truth, the officer immediately called in immigration officials who detained and took him away. How old was your son when he was deported? She said, he was 19 years old and about to graduate the next week. What was your son studying?
He studied drafting.
As parents, what did you do about the deportation of your son?
We have our hands tied in the situation in which we find ourselves. At that time, we did not know our rights, and the people we asked for help did not give us the right or correct information. The lawyers were confused about how to respond and what actions we should take. Well, you see, we have our hands tied. At that time, we did not have much contact with organizations or community groups. It was something considered common in our neighborhoods that immigrants were being deported. But now we know that we have all rights, all of us have the rights, that we can fight for a case, the right to be here even without papers. It's more like a traffic infraction. It's not a grave crime, not a criminal act, like many in government portray us as criminals, that we are harming the society. It's not so. Statistics demonstrate that economically, the nation is better off as a result of immigrants. We create our own businesses. We work. We study. We prepare ourselves to contribute to our communities. We contribute to the nation's culture and religion. We're not bad people.
And how was the deportation process?
We call it the express process, because from one day to the next, they were tossing out our children, our brothers, our parents. When families are broken up this way, when families are separated, much is affected socially, morally, and religiously. All aspects of life are affected when a father, a son, a brother is separated from their family, or a mother leaves her family alone. Sometimes they are the main breadwinner of the family. They leave their citizen family members behind suffering. It is a terrible suffering that is difficult to put in words. It is as if that person has been killed because they can no longer be with us. It's very sad. I ask the listeners of this program to reflect on the deportations and put themselves in the shoes of our loved ones who have been deported.
And let me know, how are the deported treated?
We're treated like criminals. We're handcuffed. They ask us whether we are dogs or human beings. They say they'll treat us like human beings or like caged dogs. Yes, these are the words that an officer, an immigrant himself, who detained my son, used. It's sad that these people have no heart to treat people like human beings. We're all the same. The officer has difficult work from the rest of us, and it's different. But this does not give him the right or authority to treat other human beings without respect. The deported suffer this difficult treatment.
And where did they hold your son?
He was held at a detention center behind the airport. He was in a cell and badly treated. They did not hit him, but berated and handcuffed him. He lost his liberty for something that is not a serious crime.
How old was your son when he came to the United States?
My son came when he was 6 years old. Really, he grew up here. This is where he went to primary school, kindergarten, high school, and was about to graduate from college. He never knew another country. I think for him, this was his country, the United States, where his family and his roots are. Suddenly to be torn from his country and thrown to another for questions, political issues, well, it's hard to start from zero. He did not know his family or anything about Mexico.
I know that your daughter was also in the truck when they were stopped. What consequences has this situation had on her? She was 15 at the time. She said, "My daughter was 17 years old. She was also in the truck. They also wanted to take her and deport her, but because she was a minor, they could not. At the moment they were putting my son in the immigration van, we arrived. The airport police began asking me where I was from, whether I was from Mexico. I told him that I did not need to answer him and told him to let me speak with my daughter. They could not take my daughter as she was a minor. But then they said to me, 'We can take you.' And I said, 'No, for what reason?' Then he said to me, 'Give me your license. Do you have a driver's license?' I said, 'Yes, yes, I do,' and showed them. He said, 'Give it to me.' And I said, 'Here it is.' Shouting at me in a vulgar way, he says, 'No, give it to me.' So I handed it over. He went it and checked it to see if it was fake or not. Then he gave it to the immigration officer to check. That officer called someone else and then came over and handed it back to me saying, 'Okay, you can live with your daughter.' At the moment I was living with my daughter, the airport policeman was angry because we were allowed to leave. I can tell you I was very nervous. I spoke with my daughter as they were checking my license and said to her, 'Mija, I don't know what is going to happen, but be strong. I don't know what will happen, but you be strong and go on. Look for help.' We did not know what to do. We did not know our rights. Now, after 3 years, what repercussions has this deportation had on your family, on your son who is in Mexico, and on your daughter who is here?" She said, "My son and daughter were more than siblings. They were best friends. When my son was deported, my daughter was devastated. It was like they changed her whole life. She has continued her studies in college, but deeply misses her brother. And for me, I pray every day for my son, for the violent situation in Mexico to improve. Every day I talk by telephone and tell my son how he's doing and how we are doing. He never speaks to me about what happens there, but after 5 minutes, if I don't have his news, I become very nervous and feel bad, and all this because I think the worst. This is not life. I have suffered much these 3 years for my son. My family has changed much. Before the deportation, we were a strong family, working together, talking. We were a united family. They destroyed that union.
Y realmente eso no es vida. Yo he sufrido estos 3 años por mi hijo mucho. Y nuestra familia ha cambiado mucho. Antes éramos una familia muy fuerte, trabajábamos juntos, siempre platicando. Éramos una familia muy unida y destrozaron esa unión.
Si ustedes tuvieran que decirle algo a este policía que detuvo a vuestro hijo, y especialmente al Icy, al hielo o a la migra, ¿qué le dirían?
Yo pienso que ellos también tienen familia, que ellos también son inmigrantes en algún momento en su vida. En su árbol genealógico, sus familiares.
If you could say something to the police that detained your son or the immigration officers from ICE, La Migra, what could you tell them?
I think they also have families, that they are also immigrants. At some time in their family history, their families arrived here as immigrants to this country. I would like them to remember where they came from and how they arrived here. And if they have children, to imagine how it feels to be separated from your children. To the airport police officer who separated us, I want him to know that I do not hate him. I forgive him, but ask him to do his job respectfully. What he did was wrong and not part of doing a good job. Immigration control is someone else's job, and protecting the airport is his. I think his job is serving the community and to be a hero for the community. The community should not fear the police. Our taxes, the money that all residents of our community pay, this money goes to pay for public safety, to pay for social services, to help everyone. So he's not doing his job well. He was trying to do the work of immigration control. Immigration control is the work of another agency, so I think he did wrong. I ask him to think of all the people he has worked to deport when it's not his job. I hope that he asks me for forgiveness. I wish him and his family no ill will. He's a parent, and I know that what it feels like to be a father and lose a child, to be separated from him.
Vuestro hijo está en una ciudad que conocía muy poco y recordaba muy poco a sus familiares. Ahora está vuelto a un país que es su país de nacimiento, pero que muy poco conocido para él. ¿Cómo es su vida ahora?
Pues él, como todo, no tenemos que continuar nuestra vida. Él se ha tenido que adaptar a estudiar, seguir estudiando, que es lo que más le recomendamos.
Your son is in a largely unknown city with family he barely knows. He is in his country of birth, but a country he does not know. What is his life like now?
He has had to learn to adapt so that he can continue his studies, which is the most important thing. He has had to maintain himself, so he found work. He needed to get to know his Mexican family, and they have had to get to know him. And he has had to make new friends. But the feelings of being separated from your family is not a healthy feeling. The feelings of being abused by the immigration authorities and the police, especially the airport police officer, is unforgettable. To be chained, to be locked up in a high-security jail, all this unforgettable. It's a trauma that you will always remember. It has affected him very much. He was very scared. Then to find himself in a country with so much violence right now and with so much crime, he's not used to that. Well, he lives in fear the way so many immigrants here live, because we do not trust the police. We live in fear. We're terrified.
What would you recommend to the immigrants and non-immigrants listening about how to help or prevent this kind of situations from continuing? What's your suggestion?
First, don't allow yourselves to be deceived by what is shown on the news, on the television, by what politicians say, As many use the anti-immigrant banner as a political tool to say things that are not true. I ask them to learn how we really are. All citizens at one time or another have come into contact with immigrants who have provided them a service. Some of the immigrants are your neighbors, your friends. Your children go to the same schools. We're all part of the same community. Remember where your family came from, as we are all immigrants to this country. Everyone. I have citizen friends, and they also speak of their family's immigrant history. If we look at the history and even our Lord's history, we are all immigrants. So I ask you not to be deceived and to help us as brothers, sisters, brothers, parents, children. Help us with all your heart. Receive us, the immigrant, well into the community.
And she said, I would like to recommend to the immigrants listening that they get involved in community organizations, so they learn about their rights, to know what they can do, to know what is happening, to learn what we can do to change this situation. We all came to this country. We are good people. We are people who contribute to the community and try to do help others, to the others, the citizens and residents. I say, get to know us and learn who we really are.
Que nos reciban bien.
Yo quisiera decirles a las personas que somos inmigrantes que nos acerquemos a las organizaciones para saber nuestros derechos, para saber qué hacer, para saber qué está pasando, en qué podemos ayudar para que todo esto cambie. Este país, nosotros venimos, somos gente buena, somos gente que ayudamos a la comunidad, que tratamos de hacer el bien y para las otras personas, ciudadanos, residentes, que nos conozcan y sepan realmente las personas que somos.
¿Qué mensajes le darían, le enviarían a los políticos?
Muy buena pregunta, ¿verdad? Porque ahorita estamos pasando en
What message
en
would
país,
you like to send the politicians?
En muchas situaciones muy difíciles donde
I think they need to change their attitude. Recognize us as their brothers and sisters, just as we are. Why are they in their position? Who put them there? Who elected them to do good for this country? And to stop using immigrants as a political tool to create fear. We are part of their communities. We are part of this country. We are part of this country's history. I ask them to please stop using immigrants as a political tool and to do their jobs without creating fear. That's my greatest desire. Hopefully, we can achieve this.
Querer siempre el poder cada uno, porque si estas personas se pudieran poner de acuerdo, otra cosa sería para este país, y que dejen de usarnos de bandera política nosotros los inmigrantes, porque no somos eso, somos parte de ellos mismos, somos parte de este país, por toda la historia, desde que existe este país hemos estado aquí, y les pido por favor que ya nos dejen de usar de bandera política y hagan su trabajo como debe ser. Ese es mi mayor anhelo y mi recomendación. Y ojalá y pueda lograrse eso. We are living times of progress. We are the new of Spanish collecting. From the Spanish collecting. We are the new of Spanish collecting.
Dear members of Congress, my name is Elisa Morales and I'm 19 years old.
Dear members of Congress, my name is Brenda Narvaez. I'm 18 years old.
Dear Congress, my name is Amy Miles and I am 13 years old.
My name is Anthony Hospana. I'm 12 years old. I have traveled to Washington to help get my dad free.
My mother was stopped at an immigration checkpoint while she was driving to pick me up from school.
My dad was sleeping. And immigration people, they just forced the door open.
I'm sure that family separation is a term you hear often, but it seems you don't know or understand what family separation really means.
Have you ever had this feeling that you love something so much and then it's gone and it feels like it's ripping out of your own soul?
There's no feeling that can compare to what I felt that night besides death.
I'm here to tell people about what is happening to my family and to thousands of other kids who are losing their parents.
I want you to hear my story, and I want this story to help you understand why immigration laws need to change now.
Before us, many people had to fight for their rights. Now it's our turn. I won't be silent.
Yes, I have a lot to lose, but you have to break the chains and you have to step out and speak out about it, because that's the only way change can happen.
Congress.
10,000 of us have written letters to members of Congress to say that the United States immigration laws are violating our human rights.
I hope our stories will show the need for legalization for all of the immigrants in this country.
Please help us get my dad out. I promise you I'll be somebody in my life to help this country. Please, please hear us giving this message to you.
I feel like this is the time to tell my story, and I'm going to do it.
My father is fighting for justice and to stay with me in this country. He has told me that when something is unfair, it is up to people, even teenagers like me, to speak out. That is why I am here, and this is my letter to Congress.
I want to thank the courage of these residents of Albuquerque who shared their story with Espejos de Aztlán and our audience. I especially thank our production director, Roman Garcia, and the voiceover and translation by Dr. Robert Valdez. If you want to participate in the campaigns we mentioned, you can go online to webelongtogether.org, where children can send their letters, or 11by11ahora.com, 11por11ahora.com. Hoy condujo para ustedes Espejos de Aztlán, Cristina Bachín, un programa del colectivo Raíces. Please send your comments or requests to espejos@kunm.org. I invite you to stay tuned, because just after this announcement, you'll be able to enjoy the music that Guiche Quiroz is preparing for you in Raíces Show.